Welcome back to another episode of Dan Has a Plan Beyond the Balance Sheet. I'm Daniel B. Smith, a financial advisor on the financial wealth management team at UBS Financial Services. I'm joined by my daughter, Alana J. Smith.
Hello, hello.
We're located in Paramus, New Jersey, and I can be reached at daniel.b.smith@ubs.com. Our very special guest today is Michael Worthington. He is not affiliated with UBS Financial Services, and his views are his own.
Okay, so this is a very special Father's Day episode.
Because Father's Day is in the month of June.
Yeah, and we're a big father's podcast.
I would say so.
Yeah, rather than me inflate your ego and talk about how great a father you are, we thought we'd bring in someone else, a third party, so people didn't have to sit here and listen to us.
Exactly. That might be overbearing.
Yeah, it might be. Whew, we're a lot. But regardless, happy Father's Day, Dad.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Michael had a very influential father who impacted his life in many ways. So before we speak to Mike, the audience should know that a short while ago, he did lose his dad.
Yeah.
You know, Michael is really an outgoing young man. He speaks in reverence about him. And also, I happen to have known his dad.
Yeah. So that's, as did I.
Yeah. I'm really proud of Mike for the young man he's turned into, and I'm a big admirer of his dad. That's a very inspirational story.
So, I mean, obviously, you being my dad had a great impact on financial literacy and feeling like I have an understanding of this very complicated world. So how else can a supportive father or a father figure have an impact on your financial plan?
One of the favorite things when I do financial planning is I ask about their family. And inevitably, we get to what impact did your mom or dad have on you? Where did they grow up? Were they in the military? Were they from this country or another country? That type of thing. So those stories have a big impact on the development of a financial plan.
How so?
The building blocks might be something like my dad or my mom believed in owning real estate.
Yeah.
Okay. My dad or my mom believed in a certain type of insurance. They didn't believe in credit cards.
Right. You know, they kept their cash under the mattress.
Yes, things like that.
Roth IRA who?
Exactly. But you have to respect the family structure. My job is just to enhance they're going forward, but a lot of their mindset is developed by their upbringing. And that's mostly molded by moms and dads.
Yeah. And other parental figures.
Yeah. And it could be a mentor, aunts and uncles, grandfathers and grandmas. And the person I'm dealing with is the byproduct of that. I have to not only respect that, but incorporate those ideals.
Do you want to talk to the new fathers out there?
Yeah. New dads. Once that new child is in your hands, you look in their eyes and you see, oh boy, 18 years from now, you're going to college. How am I going to do that? It's an immediate financial impact. Dollars going out the door to different areas that you never thought of. It's not only diapers and food. It's things like Tumblebee and playgroups and, you know, exposure to different things.
Yeah.
You know, going to museums and zoos and
theater.
Yeah. Got that.
Well done.
Yeah. So it's a lot of responsibility. I think that's the big thing I learned is that, yeah, you're going to be bumping into a lot of stuff. You know, that's the first time you really talk to other dads.
Did you always know you wanted to be a dad?
I knew eventually, yeah. I've got three kids, as you know.
Yeah, familiar.
Exactly. I think the greatest thing about my three kids is that they're all very different. I've got two boys and a girl. I came from a family of all boys. We had four boys in my family.
Yeah, that's different.
That was majorly different.
And you had a girl first, so bam. Yeah,
I successfully, 3 for 3, predicted the genders of my three kids.
Yeah.
Girl, boy. Proud of that.
Your crowning glory as a dad.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's welcome our guest.
The Michael Worthington. Alana J, we have a special guest today.
Mr. Worthington, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So I've known Michael a long time.
Yeah, I went to kindergarten and preschool, I think, too, with Ben. So pretty much my whole life.
I've always been a big fan of your dad. This is Father's Day month, so it's kind of a little special edition we're doing. I just wanted to ask you a few questions about him. Where did your dad grow up? And tell me a little bit about his family.
So my father actually grew up not far from here, not only in this town, but right down the street from us.
Wow. And
yeah, which is really cool. So I got to grow up where he grew up. Different generation, obviously, but I got to experience the place that he grew up. And it's funny because the house that he grew up in, up until a couple of years ago, if you drove by it, you could see the rim of the basketball hoop was tilted down because my grandmother had backed into it when he was a kid. And it was like that for decades to come. With his family, he was the youngest of five.
The baby.
He was the baby of five. So just like me, he was also the baby of the family.
Ah, you have that in common.
Yeah. With two working parents too. As much as he definitely had a great relationship with his parents, two working parents, he was pretty much raised by his four older siblings too.
You have a sister and another brother. How did you interpret how he interacted with the three of you? Was it the same? Was it different?
That's a great question. I think growing up, having a brother with special needs, my brother has pretty Willy syndrome, for the listeners who don't know what that is. It's a genetic and chromosomal disorder that kind of brings about cognitive impairment similar to autism, but also it's categorized by pituitary dysfunction, which means your pituitary gland doesn't function properly. And its main categorical symptom is called hyperphagia, which is extreme and insatiable hunger. And so obviously growing up, it just kind of comes with the territory that you're going to have to parent differently and then balancing two other kids on top of it. He never, ever loved one of us more than the other. It was always equal. It's just he expressed it differently because that's what we necessitated. My brother needed a different type of attention than I did and my sister did. And I had different needs and different skill sets and abilities than my sister did. I thought he balanced that tremendously.
It's kind of like coaching a team, right? Like yeah. Having to see everybody's needs.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's got a role and everyone's got a part and everyone's got skills. It's a matter of how you can bring the best out of all of those to make it a cohesive, you know, family.
Yeah, he was so admirable in that way. So tell us about his personality. What was he like?
He was a funny guy. He just always wanted to have fun, like always shoot the breeze. But something that I really admired about my father and something that I take into my life now is that he found fun in the mundane, the humdrum of just daily life. He could care less to go to these far off exotic places, as cool as it would have been. My dad could make putting together a piece of IKEA furniture fun, realistically speaking.
Whoa, that's very impressive.
It's impressive. I know. And that sounds like an overstatement. Believe you me, it is not.
My mom and I think our only like actual fight we ever had was over an IKEA futon.
Yeah.
Or maybe a Walmart futon, but similar. Like yeah, we almost didn't get out unscathed.
That was just the type of person he was. And I think it also came from the fact that another part of his personality was that he emphasized just working hard and being somebody who took pride in the product that they put out there. I wrestled my whole life and my father was a wrestler. And wrestling is kind of one of those sports that the backbone of it is work ethic and how much you're willing to put in. And so that was something that was kind of the cornerstone of his personality.
Speaking of wrestling, when were you aware that wrestling was a thing?
When I was in first grade, my dad started the rec program here in town. It was cool for me to kind of see him take that upon himself. And I think that was another thing going back to what his personality was. He loved being a part of the community and strengthening his community, whether it's through youth sports or just getting to know people.
So knowing he was an accomplished wrestler and you were beginning to show an interest in wrestling, was it you take the reins and you wanted his support or did he push you a little bit? How do you remember that?
I remember very vividly. I started wrestling in first grade and I didn't really start taking it seriously and wanting to do it at a higher level until eighth grade. So that's 7 or 8 years of not really taking it too seriously. And I was atrocious for 8 years, did not have a winning record at all. It was bad. I couldn't walk and chew gum at the same time. And my dad could care less because he just was happy that I was a part of it and happy that I was around it. And I think that's what I loved about him the most is that he didn't really care whether or not it was good. He just cared that I was having fun and that I was being a part of the whole team.
Do you want to talk a little bit about what you do now?
Right now, I'm a TA or a teacher's assistant at Pascack Valley High School and a wrestling coach there as well, an assistant. So kind of following my dad's footsteps. And I really enjoy giving back. The sport's done so much for me. And my dad had taught me so much through coaching me that to pass it on to the generation after me and to be able to work with so many kids, not just about as much as I want to coach kids who are good and coach kids to be successful. Like to me, to be able to make an impact on a kid's life, not just as an athlete, but as an individual is awesome and fulfilling.
Yeah, that's a big one. One of the things I wanted to veer off to is I know that when I say the band Nine Inch Nails, what does that mean?
Whoa.
And how does that feather into your relationship with your dad?
So my father's sister's son, so my cousin, he was the lead guitarist for Nine Inch Nails and Guns N' Roses.
No way.
Yeah, it's a great conversation starter.
How did I not know this?
I didn't know you didn't know this.
No, this is really valuable
information. Wow, we're all learning something today. It's great.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool. Growing up, it was awesome. My dad, he would always tell these stories when my cousin was going on tours and stuff like that, and he would play Madison Square Garden. My dad would always get tickets. I've been very fortunate enough to go and experience those shows too. And
wild.
Yeah, and so not only did my dad have a huge hand in starting my career as a wrestler and as a coach and as a teacher, molding me in that regard because he was related to my cousin, that pushed me into playing guitar as a hobby, which is also something that's important to me. And so I don't know what I would do without that.
Yeah.
What about academics? What kind of influence did your dad have on you regarding academia?
He definitely emphasized it. He thought academics were important. I was just always the kid that I went to school to wrestle in high school and even early in college. And it wasn't until late that I really understood the importance of academics. I remember my father was diagnosed with leukemia. I was still taking classes at Bergen Community College. And when he was diagnosed, I told myself, if he's going to go, I don't want him to see me just being like a hot mess. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to start to get it together. I started reading more to look for some existential wisdom to kind of piece it together, the whole situation. But as I was going along that journey and he was in chemo and stuff like that, we would talk a lot about the importance of academics and setting yourself up for the right things in the future. And I think even though it was, you know, better late than never, he was definitely instrumental in that.
Wow.
You mentioned his leukemia diagnosis. When did you first hear that he was sick and what age were you?
I remember it clear as day. It's like out of a movie. It was February 15th, 2021. It was the day before my sister's birthday and my dad had gone to the dentist to just get a routine. I think he was actually getting a tooth pulled, but it was pretty routine. And they pulled it and he spiked a fever like instantly. And so they took him to the emergency room in an ambulance and we hadn't really heard from him other than just a couple texts like, yeah, getting tests, this, that, and the other. We were sitting down. It was me, my mom, my brother, and my grandfather sitting down and we were going to blow out the candles for my sister's birthday. And literally as we were about to, my dad called my mom and he was choked up and he said, can you put mom on the phone? And that's when he told her and that's when we knew.
How open was he about his illness and what he was going through?
He was pretty open about it. I mean, at this point now, he may have just took some stuff to the grave that I'll never know, but he talked to us about what his chemo was like, and it definitely was not fun. And at the same time, as much as he did talk about it, I remember he came home from chemo maybe early June before he was slated to potentially like get a stem cell transplant. He wanted to just do stuff. He was fine. He was trying to build these planter shelves along the railing of our deck.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I was begging him not to. Usually he yells at me while I'm helping him build stuff, but now he was yelling at me to not help him build the stuff because he wanted to do it himself. And so as much as he was definitely open about what was going on, he would try to go about it business as usual.
You know, this is a tough subject. Now that your dad passed, I know there was a huge outpouring to celebrate his life. You do an annual golf tournament with your sister and brother-in-law and your mom and your brother Ryan. And those are great things. But when you wake up in the morning, what do you miss?
A lot. Like, you know, there's definitely and stuff that I don't even think of on a day-to-day basis. One thing I definitely miss is coaching wise, it's kind of weird that that's the first thing that comes to my mind, but it was something that was the thing that really brought us together the most was wrestling and being a part of the team, whether it was as a coach or as an athlete. I'll have situations that come up with my athletes or not to brag, our team was in the state section final this year and we lost by 1 point.
Oh, you can brag.
Yeah, thank you. But I just remember the couple of days going to that match, I spent way more time than I should in terms of matchups and stuff like that. And in years past when my dad was around, he was somebody who would always just be like, listen, it's going to happen whether or not you can do everything you can. And it sometimes it doesn't go your way. And that kind of advice, that's probably the one thing that I do miss the most.
My perception of him as a wrestler, having been through it all, for example, there's the weight you're going to wrestle at.
Mm-hmm.
There's the nutrition,
mm-hmm.
the type of training you have to do, the motivation, knowing your craft, reading your opponent.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, you know, whatever you said to him, he got.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, like that's all beyond my comprehension. You lost by 1 point. I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's great to have a conversation with a dad regarding that type of detail.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's something that I'm very grateful for because I coach a lot of kids who come from great families, but their families aren't wrestling families. Wrestling is a very niche and nuanced sport. It's a very small community that I'm very grateful to be a part of because everyone kind of ends up getting to know everybody because it's so small. As a coach, sometimes it's hard to relay this information, like cutting weight. For me, it was no big deal. I remember my dad, we'd put together like a team tournament and we had an empty weight that because my dad was running the team that I had to go. So I had to lose like 10 pounds in like 2 days. I say that right now and everybody's going to be like, this father is ridiculous. But
right.
It's just kind of a thing that's just kind of part of it. And was it the smartest idea in the time? No, but I was undefeated that day. So you know what?
It
was
his.
He knew what he was doing for sure.
Yeah, having that conversation with,
A parent that doesn't know, that isn't from the background that my father was from, it's definitely like, I'm not sending my kid to rest for this guy. Are you kidding me?
Right.
And so I'm very grateful to come from somebody that was not only part of that and grew up with that, but also just so knowledgeable.
When he was with us, he was very engaging, very outgoing. Mm-hmm. What was the perception of your dad in a big extended family situation?
Oh man, I mean, he loved it. Those were the things that he loved the most.
Was he known for something? Did he cook a certain dish?
Oh, he was just a barbecue guy. He was really good on the grill. He was the family grill master.
Okay.
He was the quintessential dad on the grill that your uncle would come by and just talk about how good the steak's looking and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and just,
yeah.
You know, pick this up, just put it down in the same spot, but that'll help, you know.
He'd post up.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Just grab his beverage and grab his apron and his spatula and his tongs and he just hang out there. But at the same time, he was an entertainer. He loved telling stories and making people laugh.
He was very understated from my perception, meaning that he was a very accomplished guy. Really was, you know, professionally, you know, he ran an IT department for a bank. What are some of the things that people didn't know about him that you knew about him that he was very good at?
Yeah, brag.
Anyone that I've talked to about my father, even before he passed away, they had nothing but good things to say about him. I've never met somebody who had a bad thing to say about him, which is really hard to do. He had worked in IT in the banking and insurance industries, which are, depending on the time, it can be very volatile, you know? And he managed to stick it out through working for numerous Fortune 500 companies, and he succeeded. And I definitely talked to my dad about work, but he was very good at separating his work life from his family life and his personal life.
Amazing.
And that work-life balance, especially in this generation now, post-COVID, with working from home and all of those things, it's becoming a lot harder. He was able to balance it really well.
He was, I'm sure, a great spouse to your mom.
Of course.
What did you admire most about them as a team?
Teaching, coaching, and parenting. A lot of people say go hand in hand, and they do. And so I often relate a lot of things to that because it's an easy analogy for me. Like, if you have a coaching staff, I think the best way to make it work to the most amount of success is to make sure everyone's kind of got their role, delegation, division of labor. And I think they did a really good job of, one, dividing those things up in terms of making sure who was responsible for what and stuff like that. But I think they did a really good job of just being there for us in terms of if there was something we needed, if we were really going through the ringer, we were struggling, they were right there. But they were just as much there for us when we were succeeding to high five us and be like, you guys are doing great.
I know one of the things that you did after your dad passed was your sister and mom got a little, almost like an EKG thing of his heartbeat, right?
Yeah.
Still
got it. Yeah. It's not going to be great for the listeners, but
it's okay. We'll describe what we're
seeing. Yeah.
Michael's showing us. So it's his heartbeat and it says underneath it, dad.
And so this is actually, it's his EKG. And then it says dad underlined with a smiley face. And the dad and the smiley face is actually his handwriting. Because the night before my sister's wedding, he got her flowers and he wrote a card that says, you'll always be my little girl. Love, dad. And so we all got it traced.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
My wife and I happened to be at that wedding. And what a good wedding.
Oh, yeah. It was a banger, as the kids say. Yeah.
That's a huge compliment.
I've been to a lot of weddings and I can tell you that one, nothing was left out of the bag.
Oh, yes. Let me tell you, I was definitely the sweatiest man in New Jersey after that dance floor. I was getting after it.
You're in another weight class.
Oh yeah, for sure. Going down another one. Why not?
One of my memories of your dad, he was so devoted to his family that he rarely did things for himself personally.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I got him to go out to play golf one day and he shows up with blue jeans, a golf shirt, and he wears his hat backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going, oh,
he's
boy.
A different breed, yeah.
I'm like, What's wrong with that? Let the man play golf. I know.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I embraced it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I know, but, you would. Yeah.
You know, I also wanted him to have a good time. And I will tell you, the first two or three holes were rough as coarse sandpaper. He was struggling. Then all of a sudden, he's shooting par golf for an extended period of time. I said, okay.
Let the man warm up.
Yeah.
I go, come on, sandbagger. He goes, you're right. You know, he played golf in college.
Yeah.
He had an injury in wrestling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he took up golf.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy could play.
Yeah, he was a stick for sure. That was the type of person he was. Like, he could care less about what people think he looked like or what people thought of him. My mom says to this day that on their first date, he wore a shirt with a stain on it. which does not shock me.
I also had the great luxury of coaching with him.
Yeah.
So you and my son played on the same team and we had such a good time. And what we loved about coaching, and this I think kind of feathers into your remembrance of him, we just love coaching rec teams because there was such a wide spectrum of ability, and getting those with maybe lesser talent to really accomplish something that they didn't think was achievable.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was catching a fly ball or stealing their first base. And we would just look at each other all the time with just happiness.
Yeah.
You know, he loved that. He was such a great, positive role model coach. And I said, he must be the best dad ever.
And he was. I'm very grateful for the time that I spent with him and the fact that I still live with him in terms of the memories of him and the lessons that I learned from him. And I quote a lot this guy, Tom Ryan. He's the head wrestling coach at Ohio State. He said when I was in high school that a good coach can make somebody a good athlete, but a great coach makes somebody a good man or a good person.
Yeah, but
and I think my dad did that to a T. He was somebody that whether or not you were a good athlete, he just wanted to make you a better person.
We would go to the local health club and this is tremendous. But first of all, he would dress up like a wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
And he would do hot yoga.
Oh, he was a lunatic. Yeah.
And I'd go, Jim, what could you possibly be doing in there? I could see hot yoga, but you know, he had like plastic.
He would wear a garbage bag. Like he would like layer up because that's all he knew. And I remember we would go to the gym and I would go to some of the hot yoga classes with him. I was in a short and t-shirts and all of a sudden, like I hear him sit down. I hear the crinkling of the bag under his shirt. I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? But that's all he knows. Like, you know,
he's in a class with people that got Lululemon stuff on.
Okay. Oh yeah. It's a whole scene.
Average age has to be probably like 30 or under. And then
and
it's
women.
probably 85% women at least.
Yeah. And he's draining about 15 pounds of water weight off.
Oh yeah. Guys got to get down to weight tomorrow, it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's his mentality.
It's also local. So you're running into people, you know?
Yeah. And at that point I was just like, he is who he is. I can't be ashamed of that.
I saw him regularly at the gym bringing Ryan with him.
Yeah. You know,
Ryan would go to the gym, but Ryan liked to go to the gym to socialize.
Oh, he's the mayor.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
You know, your dad's working on every machine and Ryan's over there at the concierge table talking to all the people checking in and hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
It's crazy. One of the things I wanted to ask you, is there anything that sticks out about a special thing with Ashley, your sister? I had the fortune of having two girls to start my parenting career. And I was doing things that I never thought I'd be doing with my little girls. But is there anything that was kind of their thing?
In terms of things that they shared, their relationship was so special because even though my sister was the middle child, my brother's the oldest and I'm the youngest. Because of having the type of family that we have, that order switched around a little bit. And so my sister was the oldest. And I think his relationship with my sister was more about being a good older sibling, taking care of us. And as much as it might have annoyed me sometimes when my sister had to take care of me, it was for the best. Whereas I was not the academic in high school and even early college, she was. And that was another thing that they kind of had together, was he never really had to be too on top of her about her schoolwork. And so I think he kind of enjoyed that and kind of took to that more with her.
So the real question today, though, this is the most important question. Well, it's not the most important question, but it's a poignant question. There's a certain Division III wrestling coach that claims that he can beat anybody in a wrestling match.
Mm-hmm.
And my money's always been on your dad. I think this certain person, and he knows who he is.
Yeah, he does.
Doesn't he?
I've made sure, I told him that I was going to be on here today.
Exactly.
And he wanted to make sure this came up.
Regardless of age or circumstance, is there any day that this guy could take your dad down?
As much as he wants to say that he could, I don't think so. Yeah. I just don't think so.
This guy is not going to like that answer.
Oh, he's not. He's going to let me hear it for sure.
Have you conveyed this answer to him?
In so many words. Yeah.
I've said to this certain gentleman that, listen, if I were to wrestle you for 2 minutes, how long do you think I'd last? His response is 5 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
And some outrageously, I would run around the ring for 5 seconds.
Yeah, you got to do is turn around and run away. The only rule is just don't get beat up. No.
Right.
And he'd tell you it'd be because of his dynamic tension. That's his biggest thing. Yeah.
Dynamic tension.
Oh, yeah. You got to keep an eye out for that.
Yeah.
As much as I would love to see that, please don't do that. I'm worried.
Yeah.
No, I know he would pin me in like a heartbeat.
You know, he actually mentioned a story that he said, you can't go on this podcast without bringing up the story that harkens back to my dad coaching rec baseball. I was in eighth grade. We were in the rec championship game. I was in right field, and I was never the best baseball player, as you could probably attest to. And that's not the most important thing. But I
surely not.
I hand up accountability was not great. Hands like feet. And that displayed itself when I was in right field. Put my glove up for a can of corn routine fly ball in right field, bounces off my forehead and rolls behind me. Somehow, I don't know how the physics of that works because it was coming from in front of me, but then it's behind me. It's absurd. And I think we ended up losing that game.
I think your dad's comment was he was in the right spot.
Yeah. He's always looking to find the silver lining in it, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
So
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
This little segment here is going to be lore for you know?
Yeah.
I'm so proud of the man you are today.
Thank you.
And I know that you're on the shoulders of the great man that raised you. I see so many traits of your dad and you, and I just wanted you on this podcast because of my pride that I've known both him and you.
Thank you. It's been great. And I think as much as it pains me to not have him in my life, he's the type of person to be like, don't be sad because it's over. Just be happy that it happened and be grateful for the time that you had with him.
Father's Day can be so hard for people, and everybody has different ways they commemorate their person.
I think grief is such an interesting experience. Somebody once told me, when you're dealing with the passing of somebody, you're working in two different directions of time because you have to work backwards to kind of put a bow on what just happened, as well as remembering the life that they lived and the life that you had with them. But time marches on, and so you have to continue to live, and it can be really hard to move forward with all of the changes that are going to take place in your life because of the passing of that person, especially a parent or a very close family member. So making sure that you find a way to keep them around in terms of whether it's memories, whether it's things, whether it's experiences, getting the family together. The other thing that I kind of learned was that, and I think everyone knows this, that everyone goes through grief in different ways, and you can't deny them their grief. You know, at the end of the day, if I handle my grief differently than my mom or my sister or my brother or my aunts and uncles, they can handle it their own way. I can't take that away from them, because even though, yes, I lost my father, but my mother lost her husband and my sister lost her father, my aunt lost her brother. And so you want to find the balance of making sure everyone's on the same page and understanding of what's going to happen going forward. But at the same time, you want to make sure you give them their due, because everyone deserves that.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, well said.
Thank you.
Well said.
All right. Well, Michael, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
This has been a joy. Yeah.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
The Michael Worthington.
The Michael Worthington.
Thank you.
Okay. So that was our little Father's Day tribute.
Yeah, Mike Worthington is a tremendous guy. He was fortunate to have the dad he had. He left a unbelievable footprint on Mike's life, and you could tell by the enthusiasm.
You can tell he's carrying on his dad's legacy.
He was just a dad's dad. He just really was. That's the biggest compliment I can give him.
As a fellow dad. Yeah, and we just wanted to sort of give some love and comfort to people on Father's Day. And if it's a hard day for people, sending love to them, you know, specifically reaching out from this dad podcast that we've got going on. And I'm so grateful that I get to share this with you.
Thank you.
I mean, a lot of the things he was talking about, his dad, I think you share too. You're a dad's dad for sure. I know you had more girls to contend with. Sorry about the dance recitals and such. What was like the girliest thing you ever had to do? You never thought you'd see yourself doing?
You guys had this game called, I don't know, I think it was called Dress Up.
Oh, no. Pretty Little Princess.
Oh, yeah.
Or Pretty Princess?
Pretty, whatever it was.
I think Pretty Princess.
But it was basically putting earrings on and wearing tiaras. And what can I say?
I'm sure you made a beautiful princess.
Apparently I did.
I mean, no shade to the pretty princess game, but was there any strategy, or you just put things on?
Whatever the game said to do, I was expected to do.
Wow. Did we love it?
Of course you loved it.
And my sister Janine?
Oh, you and Nini loved it. Of course you loved it.
That's
and
amazing.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention my dad. I lost many years ago. He was definitely an impact on my life. The longer that I don't have him, the more special I realize he was to me. He was funny and a bit tortured at times, but I can tell you that I still miss him a lot. A smile comes to my face when I think of him.
When I think about what we have in common, we were just talking about this before, how we schedule a day and the premise of if it's technically possible, we're doing it. If we can squeeze it in, if it's physically possible, it's happening.
Yeah, that's a trait we share. We try to jam everything in.
And we're good at it.
Yeah.
You know what else I do that I think comes from you? I just kind of leap and then the net appears in terms of adventures or skills that I don't necessarily have honed yet, but I just try and I go for it and then we figure out the rest later.
Yeah, I think that's a definite trait we share. It manifests in many fun ways, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Keeps life interesting, the risk shaking. I don't know. I'll figure it out. It's usually my...
Exactly. So.
Anyway, I was leading to say, what do you feel like you inherited from your dad?
Well, definitely work ethic. He started work at a very young age. He was on call a lot. He worked a lot of long hours. He worked very hard. Secondly, was his love of baseball. I just remember vividly him hitting balls directly up in the air as high as the sky was at that age. And it just taught me how to center under a ball, whether it was to my left, to my right, forward, backwards. I loved that. And as my baseball career progressed, he was my biggest fan. He bought a jacket with extra big pockets because he would eat apples when I was pitching because he was so nervous.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was like he would be walking around the park, left center field somewhere, eating his apples because he was so into every pitch.
Oh, that's so specific. I love it.
Yeah. I didn't realize when you pitch that you should put on a jacket between innings, especially on a cold day.
I want to keep your muscles warm. Yeah.
And I played for the Cardinals, was my first team. I remember when I got to a level of pitching that I was starting to excel at it, taking care of myself was important. So he took me to a sporting goods store and bought me a red jacket to wear between innings. And that was a big luxury because we didn't have a lot of means.
Yeah.
Because we had four boys in the family. The food bill was the major thing.
Of course.
Yes. But that purchase was, I never forget that. It was like an act of kindness, an act of love, an act of necessity. I think about that often.
He believed in you.
Yeah, he did. He did. He created my first scrapbook. I never knew about it until I was in my teens.
Wow.
Yeah. So he kept a scrapbook for me. You know, we live near the Adirondack Baseball Factory in Dallesville, New York. I'll date myself where the Johnny Bench model was. Johnny Bench was a famous catcher, a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
We lived near Cooperstown. So he got me Johnny Bench model bats. We used wooden bats when I first started playing. It was a sweet thing for him to do.
Yeah, okay? Definitely.
So those are the things I remember. And his sense of humor. My dad was very, very funny. Everybody always asks me to talk about him and how he talked. And
yeah, do you want to give us a little taste?
Of course. What are you doing now, Daniel?
Dad, I'm just brushing up on my baseball skills. What are you doing?
Yeah, you got to rest once in a while, Daniel.
I was also thinking about, you know, maybe I wouldn't go to college. I don't know. What do you think?
Daniel, you got to go to college. Getting your education. It's opened so many doors.
That's a classic line.
So anyways, so happy Father's Day to all the dads out there that are with us or not.
Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you. So Lana, love you.
Love you too.
Bye-bye.
Podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services Incorporated offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services Incorporated is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.